hoping my voice will last this morning. I want to concentrate this morning on the first Bible reading that Carmen read about the feeding of the 5,000. And I want to look, first of all, at this unknown helper in the story, the boy in verse 9, was probably not even a teenager. Yes, it was his privilege to be the initial link in one of Jesus' most remarkable signs. We don't even know the boy's name. In fact, although the story of the miraculous feeding is told in all the four Gospels, only John troubles to mention the young boy at all. And I wonder why. If we only read the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we might think it was the disciples who provided the loaves and the fishes that were served up. But John finds it important to tell us about the boy. And even though we don't know who the boy was, we can be sure that Jesus knew him. Jesus tells us that while the disciples were panicking about the size of the crowd and the lack of food, Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Talking of the size of the crowd and picturing the place where this was happening, I wonder how this huge crowd could even hear Jesus. But to get back to the story, Jesus could have turned stones into bread, of course. But he chose not to. Instead, he used the situation to test the disciples' faith. That's a point to remember. It isn't only the gift from the boy that made the miracle possible, but the faith of the disciples too. Luke tells us that they were given the job of distributing the food to the crowd. So let's imagine it, shall we? How did they feel as they went to first one and then another in the hungry crowd, carrying just a few crumbs and perhaps a fish tail? Did their faith hold out as they gave away these few scraps before seeing them replenished in their hands? I wonder how that worked. Makes you think, doesn't it? But that promotes a question for us. Do we have the faith, personally and collectively, to expect God to do great things with our meagre resources? It's quite a question, isn't it, that? Is that how it happened? Or were there others who offered to share the food? There might well have been, we don't know that, do we? We only know that this boy was willing to share his. And Jesus knew that. He knew what was going to happen. Do we have the faith to expect God to do great things and good things with our meagre resources? I remember as a child in junior school, I was afraid of getting things wrong. Even though I knew the answers, I was frightened in case they weren't the answers, and we had a headmaster with a big cane. So even though I knew the answers, I couldn't trust myself for fear of being wrong. And you know, fear of failure can paralyse us even as adults, can't it? But trust in the Lord is a safe bet. So just think for a moment about the question up on the screen. Do you have the faith to expect God to do great things with what you offer? It made me think when I started the Magdalene Project, I didn't feel I had a lot to offer, but I knew I had to offer what I had for God to use it and so follow through his plan. Sometimes we don't know what God is going to do with the little things that we offer, the things that we think we can't do, or even we don't want to do. But we don't know what he's going to do with those things, do we? This boy didn't know what God was going to do, what Jesus was going to do with his loaves and fishes. So I just want us to look next at God's way of working. We need to understand that God does not need us to do his work in the world. He doesn't need us to do it. But remarkably, he chooses to restrict himself to make his work dependent on our small contributions. We might ask why. Sensational miracles of feeding and healing in the Bible often seem to hinge on the cooperation of a faithful individual. That contribution might not have been very large. Perhaps just a small amount of food or a widow's mite. But in the hands of Jesus, it becomes enough, in this case, to feed 5,000 people and more. So it's not how much we have to offer, but a willingness to offer that matters. Now, we might think we haven't got much to offer. We can make up lots of reasons why we do not offer what we can to the Lord. We're getting older. We want to enjoy ourselves. We haven't got much money, and we're not good at anything, etc., etc., etc. And we may justify our excuses by saying, oh, so-and-so, he can do that. He can do this, that, and the other. We'll let them do it. But that's not good enough for God, because he's given all of us talents and abilities. Remember the Bible story where the servant buried his talent that God gave him while the others did something with theirs, and how he was chastised about that and there were consequences. So the question is, will we bury ours and not even try to discover what we have to offer? Because if we do that, we miss out on a real blessing. Sometimes we're just required to encourage others. And it's the willingness to give the time and the ability, whatever, that counts. Because God allows us to have a part in what he does. He allows us to do that. And when we dedicate our own small resources, which might be our time, our talents, even our possessions, to God, He can take our limited resources and multiply them beyond our wildest expectations. Jesus took the bread rolls and fishes from the boy and he broke them. But first of all, he gave public thanks to God. And by doing this, he made it clear to the disciples and to those around that even the boy's packed lunch could not be counted as a human contribution to the coming feast, because God is the real provider of everything. That boy's mum probably made that for him when he went out in the morning, and he would just expect to have it wherever he was going. But God knew that was going to happen, that there would be that small offering. But at the end of the day, God was the provider of everything. He used the boy. At most, we are the stewards of the resources he's given us. And this young boy had the faith to hand over everything to Jesus. He can't have guessed how Jesus would make his packed lunch into a banquet. But he didn't say, "What's the use of my tiny contribution?" As far as we know, he just gave it. And it made me think, if we're possessive about the time and talents and the many things God has given us, we may miss the chance to be used by God. That's something to think about, isn't it? That we might miss having the chance to be used by God. This young boy's name hasn't gone down in history. His gift might not even have been noticed by the huge crowd. And Jesus didn't choose to draw attention to him. But he had the satisfaction of seeing his small gift fabulously multiplying. I wonder how he felt. God spends his resources among his people in a peculiar way. Some Christians seem to be extraordinarily gifted or wealthy, have everything, while others don't appear to have much to give at all. But it's not how much or how little we appear to have that matters. It's what we do with it that counts. Jesus values everyone, even the youngest, the poorest, the oldest, or at least or the least apparently gifted person in the church. So we need to learn how to treasure each and every gift and resource that God has given to us. For even a tiny amount of time, ability, money, whatever, given in love and service, can be multiplied 5,000 times. I want just to briefly look at these things about Jesus relevant to this story. First of all, the creativity of Jesus. The Creator Jesus had gone on multiplying fish and bread from the early days of his life on our planet to the present. Here the process had accelerated unforgettably. When we think of this world and we think hunger is not of God, and the Messiah longs to end it. But even with God's ample supply, he will not permit wastefulness, as we see in verse 12. Now, as then, he treats human resourcefulness in making the most of the vast abundance of God's creation available to those who need it. Then the requirements of Jesus. Without doubt, Jesus could have worked this miracle single-handed. But he didn't. But he looked to Philip in verse 5 for vision. And then to a child's sacrifice of his lunch. And to the disciples for service. He looks to us too, to readily serve him today, to multiply. He wants to multiply what we are willing to give. But what about the values of Jesus? Philip's vision was inadequate. But Jesus valued him enough to ask. The boy's lunch was small, but Jesus valued him enough to accept it and to use it. The crowd completely misunderstood him, but Jesus valued them enough to feel compassion for them. To know we are valued so highly can lead us to give freely in love and service, for we are secure in him. If you feel that you haven't got much to give in Christian service, give thanks to God and give it anyway. Jesus will take your offering, whatever that is, however big or however small. He'll break it and he'll multiply its worth. Now, the aim of this story is to realise that Christ values even the smallest thing we can offer in love and service to him. And he wants us to value every gift and every person available in our church. Jesus often used people as channels of his grace. And in feeding all these people, Jesus used the boy's provision. God calls us to have a part in what he does. When we willingly dedicate our own small resources, talents, and possessions to God, he can work a miracle for us and others. God can take our limited resources and multiply them beyond our wildest dreams and expectations. And that made me think again about this question. So maybe if we each take a little bit of time to just think about what we have to offer, what we can offer, what we're willing to offer, And on your tables, you'll see some little cards and pencils. Maybe just spend a little time thinking about what you want to offer to God this morning. And then we'll put them on the tree and we'll offer those to God. So let's just spend a few minutes doing that. Thank you.